There's a phrase that bartenders are really fond of using, I hear. At the end of the night, after last call and after the lights come back on, they like to say, "You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here." Like I said, I've never heard that before, but I hear this. Now, I've never heard of a preacher using this as a benediction at the end of a worship service, but as I was thinking about it, it kind of makes sense, right? The prayers have been said, communion has been served, the sermon has been preached. Now it's time to go out and put all that to work. In fact, there's a whole bunch of stuff that we can't do unless we leave here. Sermon series that we started last week for January is called When God Leaves the Building. And the idea behind this is not that God has abandoned the church, but rather that God leads us out of here and into the world. And that most of God's primary work that God is doing is out there. And it is our job to join God in that work. Last week, we talked about the radical move that God made when he first came to earth in the first place, when God came among us, left the perfection of heaven and came into the messiness and imperfection of the world in which we live. John wrote, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And when we become followers of Jesus Christ, who was the Word made flesh, it becomes our job to put flesh to God's love and to become the face of Jesus Christ to the world. That's our job, even when it means going to places that are unfamiliar and places where we might not be entirely comfortable. The story that we're going to read today is a story about a time when Jesus and his disciples left the comfort and security of their familiar Jewish surroundings and crossed the Sea of Galilee into a place where there's lots and lots of things that probably weren't familiar or were definitely outside of their comfort zone. And so we read in Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. This is kind of a long text, but it's a great story, so just hang in there. They came to the other side of the lake, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain, for he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him. And he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swines, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned in the lake. The swineherds ran off and told it to the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. I've always loved this story because it's a great story. It's also about the closest thing to a horror story or a ghost story as you're going to find anywhere in the Gospels. Years ago, I was a counselor at a church camp for junior age kids. So these would be third, fourth, and fifth graders. And as you do at camps like that, you've got your own cabin. And I had a cabin full of boys that age. And they asked me one night to tell a scary story, to tell them a ghost story. And camp, of course, is famous for that. And I had just finished preaching on this particular text, so it was kind of fresh in my mind. So I just kind of riffed on this story. And I used this story as my ghost story. So I set it up, and I took some liberties with the story, I have to tell you. But I said it was a dark and foggy night when Jesus and the disciples rode up to this haunted cemetery. And they knew it was haunted because even before they got there, they could hear howls and shrieks coming from inside the cemetery. And the reason there were howls and shrieks coming is because there was a man who lived there who was possessed by thousands of demons, a legion of demons. A legion was a Roman company of soldiers that numbered anywhere from, I think, 2,000 to 6,000. This man was so strong that he could break chains with his bare hands and tear little boys limb from limb. And the longer I told the story, the scarier it got, until I finally got to the part where Jesus asks the demon his name. And of course, the demon, and when I answered, I used my best demonic voice, and I said, "I am Legion." And at that point, I had them so freaked out. But that was what they'd asked for. So that was what they got. But then I told them the end of the story, because you can't tell this story without telling the end of the story. And the end of the story is that Jesus heals the man. He exorcises those demons. And of course the demons go into the pigs, and the pigs run into the water and drown themselves, and the people that were the farmers go into town and tell everybody what happens. And when they come out to see, they see the man who had been possessed by demons, who was out of his mind, sitting there fully clothed, smiling and eating a bologna sandwich. At least that's how I told the story. And they were amazed. That's the kind of power that Jesus has. And of course, the moral of the story was that when we walk with Jesus, we don't have anything to fear, because our Savior has power over evil, even over a legion of demons. So the story of the Gerasene demoniac is kind of scary in its own right. I mean, just as it appears on the paper. But there are some other things about the story that would have made it unnerving to good Jewish boys like the guys that were following Jesus. When Jesus packed up those disciples and took them across the Sea of Galilee, he knew that they weren't going to just any old cemetery. They were going to a Gentile cemetery. This was a Gentile area. Gentiles, of course, were the very definition of other in that time. Jews and Gentiles just didn't mix. They just didn't happen. Jews didn't go into Gentile. In fact, they went out of their way to avoid Gentile areas, and vice versa. The fact that there were 2,000 pigs on a nearby hillside is another sign that this is definitely not home, that this is definitely a Gentile area, not a Jewish area. And so right away, when you kind of step back and look at the story, you realize, hey, pigs were considered unclean, and dead bodies, certainly a cemetery would have been considered a place that was ritually unclean, religiously or spiritually unclean. Gentiles were considered unclean. So when Jesus took those disciples into this cemetery, he was definitely taking them to a place that was outside of their comfort zone. But that's what God does. He takes us to places where that might not be familiar, and does some of his most powerful work in us and through us in those strange foreign places. That's why I'm always a little bit surprised when I hear Christians talk as if contact with anything that is unchristian is somehow forbidden. And I hear that a lot, and I see that a lot. I know people that they'll only listen to Christian music, only listen to Christian radio. They'll only watch Christian programming on TV or Christian movies, and otherwise avoid contact with anything that's not Christian. And I always wonder, you know, it's almost as if they're living in a what I would call a Christian bubble, surrounding themselves, protected all the time from anything that might be strange or foreign or otherwise unclean, as the Jews would have said. And I wonder how they interpret stories like this one, with Jesus going into this strange, unclean place and doing this amazing thing, right? Or the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman by the well. Remember that story? She'd lived with a whole series of men, was living with a man then, and Jesus comes in and he changes her life, but it was only because he was willing to go into an unfamiliar place and to talk with somebody that was forbidden, supposedly forbidden, and yet that's where God does some of his most important work. Jesus was always doing that. He was always engaging sinners and talking with people like you and me. And that made all the difference in the world. It's almost as if people that think that we have to live in that Christian bubble are ignoring one of the core ideas of the New Testament, that God calls us out of our safety and security so that we can take the message of the gospel of love and peace into those strange places, into those places that can sometimes even be a little bit scary. When I imagine Jesus and the disciples walking in that cemetery, I have to believe that the disciples were pretty freaked out. I mean, it's I don't know if it was dark or not, but they could hear the howls and the shrieks coming from this demon-possessed man. They're in a strange place. This is obviously not home. And they're afraid of anything. But I also picture Jesus being absolutely confident and unafraid and striding forward, confident that God was with him, confident that he was going to be able to do something good, and reassuring them that, hey, it's okay. Everything is going to be all right. The Apostle Paul once wrote to his friend Timothy, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." That's what we're supposed to be about. Not this, you know, these poor, fragile creatures that can't interact with anything that might be strange or foreign or unclean or unchristian. That's not what we're about. We're about having a spirit of power, confidence, and faith and boldness. There was a story some of you may have heard. This just happened actually over New Year's. It happened in Fayetteville, North Carolina, on New Year's Eve. They were having a watch night service, and a watch night service is a service that begins on New Year's Eve and it ends on New Year's Day. So it usually starts around 10, 11 o'clock, and it goes clear through midnight. About 11:40 at this particular church, a man came in to the sanctuary with a rifle in one hand and an ammunition clip in the other. And the pastor, this is a picture of the pastor, his name is Larry Wright. He's a retired soldier. A city councilman, in addition to being a pastor, stops in the middle of a sermon, asks the man if there's anything that he needs, if he needs any help. There's no panic, no panic, no screaming or running around or anything like you think there might be. No shots were fired. And so the elders go to him and lead him to the front, and he begins to cry, and they pray with him, and they enter the new year together. Now, eventually, the police took him to a mental health facility, but as I heard that story, I thought, you know, that story could have ended much, much differently than it did. The story with Jesus and the demon-possessed man could have ended much differently than it did. Genuine faith, confident, bold faith, makes a difference. So I want to ask you now just to think to yourself, where are you experiencing fear and dread in your life out there? Now, you might not be facing anything as scary as a haunted cemetery or an armed gunman, but that doesn't mean that you're not experiencing challenges in your life. And I know that most of you are experiencing some kind of challenge. It might be at home, it might be in your neighborhood, it might be at your workplace, it might be in a doctor's office, it might be at your mother-in-law's. I mean, there's There's lots of places where we that require us to walk in courage and in faith. And like I said to those boys at camp a long time ago, when you walk with Jesus Christ, you walk with the most powerful force in the universe. Even demons bow down, know his name, and bow down. In fact, there's a story in the Gospels when Jesus first sends the disciples out. And I've always loved this because, I mean, they'd only known Jesus for a short time. And he's sending them out into the world, right? Out into things that are uncomfortable and unknown to them and unfamiliar to them to do the same things that he was doing. And when they returned, the first thing that they said was, man, we have power in your name. Luke tells us, he says, in Luke 10, he says, the 70 returned from that mission with joy, saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. Isn't that awesome? Even the evil from hell listens to us and obeys us and submits to us, because that's the kind of power that we represent. That's the kind of power that we need in our lives as well. No doubt about it. And that's the kind of power that is at work in us when we allow it. I heard one preacher that was so confident in God's power to change people and situations from the inside out through him that he said this. I just love this. Throw me to the wolves and I will return leading the pack. I think more of us need to have that kind of courage and boldness and faith that we can, God can, through us, change people and situations and redeem those people and those situations. Not destroy, but redeem, because our God is a God of redemption, a God of salvation. That's what God wants for us. I think the psalmist also had the same idea when he wrote in the 23rd Psalm, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God is with me. As you go forth from here today, know that that power and that presence go with you as you journey with Jesus into the world. Let us pray. Lord, you sent Jesus and the disciples into lots and lots of unfamiliar, strange, and even scary places, and yet you revealed every step of the way your power and your love to redeem, not to destroy, but to redeem. Lord, help us to be living testimony to that faith and that courage. Help us to walk with boldness in all that we do, for we know that you are Lord and Savior, and we ask this in your name. Amen.